When it stopped, we were in a mist, which reminded me of my first trip here. The ground was very uneven, patches of brown grass sprang from the parched earth. Thank God I could leave all this behind me. There was no comparison between this place and where I lived. There are many lost souls who wander this plain not knowing that anything lies beyond. They wander in packs, the weakest led by evil ones. The evil ones are clever because they keep the weakest away from our rescue teams by holding them by their lower natures. Slowly they get used to the mist and think it's natural. Many will stay in these conditions. Some will sink lower, others will be helped out. The desire to climb out of this hell must come from themselves. I was shaken from my thoughts by Chan's command, "This way, gentlemen." "Where are we going?" inquired Jack. "We are to meet other groups in order to work out a plan of action," said Chan. "We will need a plan if we are to win this battle. Now please, follow me." Chan led us to a clearing where other groups were assembling. There must have been about 200 people. As we waited, my mind went back to my first encounter with the lower astrals. That was some fight, but this time it seemed to be on an even larger scale. How correct my thoughts were. Chan stood to my right, with Harry and Jack to my left. I turned and asked Harry how he was feeling. "Nervous," he replied. "So am I," piped up Jack. Before I could agree with my friends, Chan tapped me on the shoulder, saying they are ready to start. All eyes focused on a shimmering light that appeared on top of a nearby large boulder. It was soon apparent that someone was materializing from it. When the figure was fully formed, I recognized the old monk from several years back. His appearance brought back the memory of his parting words from that first encounter, "One day we will work together again." That was a long time ago, but his words had come true. I listened intently to what he was saying now. First came words of encouragement, then an explanation of the work ahead. "You will be placed into groups of about 20, he said. "At the head of each group will be a soul who is well versed in this work. You will go to them for any minor decision. The leader of each group will be in constant touch with the command post where all information will be sorted. The most urgent will come to me so that I can act accordingly. Each of you will be given a colored armband to be worn at all times. The color will designate your group. Once you have established contact with your group, keep in constant touch with each other. Do not, on any account, wander off on your own. Always stay in pairs. If one succumbs, the other will be able to ask for help. Your work, my friends, is very important. We must not fail. Your groups will be delegated to specific countries. The leaders of each group will be told the name of the country and its location. If you look to the right of where I am standing, you will see 7 flagpoles. When you are given your armband, make your way to the pole flying your color. Once there, you will be placed into smaller groups. Remember, you have the Lord's presence with you. Did he not say, 'Lo, I am with you always'? Keep this in mind as you go about your work. May God bless you and give you strength for the work ahead." Brother David then made the sign of the cross and spoke some words in Latin. He raised his hands high above his head, and a light appeared from them. The light intensified and spread over all of us. I sensed the immense power of Brother David as the light infused us with the love of the Christ Spirit. Within minutes the light had gone, along with Brother David, but I still felt his love burning into my very soul. There it stayed and kept me going over many long years. I turned to Chan in time to see him take 3 yellow armbands out of his pocket. He handed these to us to put on. We then made our way to the appropriate flagpole. An organizer stood at each flagpole to place us in our respective groups. The organizer called to the guides to come forward. Chan went forward with the others. They were in conversation for some time. Chan came back to us, and I asked what was up. "Be patient, Jim," he replied. "I have been told that Germany is heading for war, and that evil has entwined itself deeply everywhere. It is so strong that we have very little hope of averting a war. Other groups have tried to get close to those in power, but the lower elements have a vast legion guarding them. Our job is not to tackle them, but to help where we can. It will be a long job, and we must be steadfast." Shan paused for a moment then said, "I think they are ready to address us. May I please have your attention, gentlemen?" "Thank you. I have spoken to those who will be leading you in the fight. They will designate the location of your work. At all times you must obey their commands. Remember, help will always be at hand, but use your common sense. If you come up against a situation that you cannot handle on your own, call for help. Well, good luck." Chan was our group's section leader, and as the leader he addressed the group before we commenced. "You will be placed into smaller units. At the head of each unit will be a soul well versed in this work. Your names will be read out by the head of each unit. Please go to them when your name is called." We were soon placed in our units. Chan was not only the head of our unit but also commanded the whole group. His work would be twofold. I thought that one war should have been enough for Germany, but it seemed they were starting all over again. Well, it was time for our work to begin. We were told to make a circle and to link hands. It was a large circle since there were 40 of us in our group. The intensity of willpower was immense. I felt myself move very quickly. Then the movement stopped almost as quickly as it had begun. When everyone had recovered, we were called by our unit leaders. There were 10 groups in all, and each group soon left. Only 4 of us remained. "Where are we?" I asked. "We are in the astral level of Germany," Chan replied. "Each of the unit leaders has been given his designated area. We are going to a place where souls are crying out for God's help." Harry and Jack were remarkably quiet considering what was happening. I looked towards them. They seemed all right, but I think they were a bit apprehensive about the work ahead. I knew I was. "Right, my friends, it is time to start," said Chan. "Before we go, I wish to explain where we are going. You may sense some unusual conditions, ones which you may not have come across before. You may have to use your power of concentration to protect yourselves from them, but you will quickly get used to them. Until you become familiar with these new surroundings, I want you to link hands with me." Chan held out his hands. The 3 of us took hold, and we were immediately on our way. We reappeared in a place that resembled the back streets of my old earth home. I quickly sensed the conditions Chan had spoken about. It's hard to say exactly how I felt. An overwhelming sense of fear crept over me, making me feel quite ill. "Chan," I said, "I feel the conditions you spoke about."
"So do I," said Jack.
"Me too," echoed Harry.
"That is to be expected," said Chan. "Do as you were taught, and cleanse your aura."
"Wait, I will help." I sensed Chan's immense willpower as he concentrated on us. Within moments the conditions had no effect on us.
"That's better," said Harry.
"I'm ready to begin now."
"Yes," said Jack, "so am I. If we had known what we were letting ourselves in for, we would not have been so eager."
"This way," said Chan. We followed him along cobbled streets until we stopped outside a Victorian-style, 3-story house. The house had a foreboding feeling about it. Chan beckoned us to follow inside, so we entered the house. Chan immediately climbed the stairs. We followed him into a room that was at the top of the house. The door to the room was hidden from sight by a bookcase, but as we were not part of the Earth's physical laws, we were able to walk straight through it. The room was sparsely furnished. There were several makeshift beds, 1 or 2 with people asleep in them, and a group of 5 people sitting around a small table. I asked Chan who they were.
"These souls," he said, "dare to speak out against the regime. Now they are paying the price. They are being hunted and, most certainly, will be caught and put to death. That is why we are here."
"How cruel," said Harry.
"It makes me feel sick," replied Jack.
"How do you know they will be caught?"
I asked.
"It is in the order of things," Chan replied. "We will have to wait here until the time is right.
I took a closer look around the room. In one of the corners, two children played on the floor. They were very thin and pale, but looked contented enough. I'm sure they had no idea what was about to happen to them. Thank God they didn't.
It is beginning, said Chan. I stepped forward to where Chan and my two friends stood. The air chilled around us, and the little light we had began to fade. My heart started to race, and I felt agitated. Suddenly, the door burst open and a young man ran in shouting at the top of his voice, "The Nazis are here! God help us!" The mother of the two children rushed over to them and cradled them in her arms as she cried uncontrollably. The others huddled in the center of the room. Most were on their knees in prayer. I saw the intensity of their prayers as they asked for God's help. I also sensed their fear. I was startled by the loud crashing of a downstairs door, and the sound of many heavy feet on the staircase. As the noise came closer, the wailing of the group grew stronger until it was unbearable. I wanted to shut it out, but couldn't. I knew I had to stand my ground and wait. The coldness intensified and black vapor appeared in the ether around us. The door to the room suddenly crashed open, and four men in black uniforms carrying guns entered. Behind them came figures of a malign nature. These creatures were dead to the earth world but dominated their earthly counterparts. As soon as they caught sight of us, they rushed forwards with outstretched hands, which looked more like talons. Before I knew it, three of these creatures were on top of me, hitting, biting and clawing away at my flesh. I managed to push them off, but the pain they inflicted made me angry. I could not fight with my fists, but by God I could fight with my mind. I concentrated all my willpower on creating a shield of light around myself. The next moment I heard one of the creatures scream out in pain as he reeled back from the band of light. The fight came to a sudden end, we had won. The evil creatures disappeared from our sight. There was a heavy mist in the room. I heard the sound of gunfire. We had to wait for the mist to clear before we could see what had happened. Slowly my sight adjusted. There was no movement whatsoever. The men in uniforms had gone, leaving the bodies of the dead and dying. Even the two children lay on the floor. No, I shouted, how can this be? Control yourself, Chan barked. You will gain strength as we go on. Our work is not yet over. We have to wait. I looked over to Harry and Jack. By the look on their faces, they felt pretty much the same as I did. How could any human being do this to such defenseless people? When evil strikes, it strikes with a vengeance such as I had just witnessed. As I watched the bodies of these poor souls, a mist formed over the top of them. The astral bodies began to form. It was our job to get them away from this place as quickly as possible. The first to break away from their bodies were the two children, who looked dazed. I immediately went to them and gathered them into my arms. I took them to where Chan was standing. Wait a moment, Jim, said Chan. I am sending for some help. Chan became silent and went into a state of deep thought, but he was soon back with us. Well, that's done, he said. They should be here soon. The children started to get restless. I want my mummy, said one. The other one started to cry. I had never had anything to do with children before, and I didn't know what to do. I cradled them tightly to my chest and sang to them. My singing must have fascinated them because they stopped crying. Two shapes materialized next to Chan. This startled the two youngsters, and they began to cry again. The two materialized forms were nurses. They walked over to me. Here, let us take the bonnie lasses for ye, said one in a very broad Scottish accent. Within moments the children were pacified. I admired the nurse's way with children. Harry shouted from across the room to me, we need some help over here. Harry and Jack were arguing with some of the new astrals. I went across to them and asked what was the matter. They don't believe they're dead, said Harry. Oh, don't they? I said. Well, I can assure you, you are dead. Well, dead to the earth plane anyway. So please don't argue, not for now anyway.
Just come with us, and we will lead you away from here to somewhere better. The look on their faces was one of amazement as we led them to Chan. The last thing they expected was to be presented to a Chinaman. After a few words from Chan, they stood by rather passively. We managed to gather all the souls quickly, except one. The mother of the two children still held on to her earth body. I heard Chan talking to one of the nurses. I think she is in a state of shock. The nurse agreed, and both the nurses went over to where she lay. They bent over the body, one at the head and the other at the feet. I could not quite make out what they were doing, but they were there for some time. They then moved away from the body and waited. 5 minutes passed, and a mist appeared over the body. When the astral body had formed, the two nurses took charge and stood her on her feet. She was in a terrible state of shock, shaking violently. I heard her calling through her tears, "My babies, where are my babies?" She kept repeating the same words. Nothing else seemed to matter, not even the fact that she was dead. She was led over to Chan and the others. "Right," said Chan. "We have them all." He ordered us to stand around the group. When we were all in position, Chan raised his hand. A light emanated from the palm of his hand and encircled us. When the light lifted, we were in a hospital. We were immediately met by several nurses who took charge of the souls we had brought. The mother and two children were reunited, not even death could separate them for long. I thanked God they were safe here from the evil on the earth plane. When everything had been sorted out, Chan took us to one side and said how pleased he was with us. 11. Our work continued in the astral level of Germany for some years. Germany was well into war by then. Many souls came to this side of life long before their time. We had many encounters with the lower astrals, each time I became stronger. We went home for periods of rest, but not for long. The war would not stop for us to rest. Chan called a meeting of the whole group. There are certain places in Germany where sheer barbarism is occurring. To get near, the whole group must work together. Evil is using these places to manifest fear and feeds on this fear for the strength to manifest its evil ways on earth. I have one more thing to say before we go. Be strong in the work to come. It will be nothing like the encounters you have experienced before. I later realized how correct Chan's words were. Chan led us in prayer. He then took the group to a most dreary location, a place full of evil intent. "This, my friends, will be the battleground," continued Chan. "If you look ahead, you will see the place we are to attack." A light mist covered everything, making it difficult to see. When my eyes pierced the mist, I saw a very large black wall, some 20 to 30 feet away from where we stood. "Come," said Chan, "we will walk around it." We covered 8 to 10 miles and discovered that the wall formed a square with no means of entry. I was glad we stood some distance away because I could sense the tremendous force of evil and fear behind the wall. "How on earth are we to get in there?" I asked. "Wait, and I will show you," Chan answered. He called the group to order. "Now, gentlemen, would you please make one straight line?" This was difficult because of the mist and because there were so many of us, but we managed. Chan then took the first three in line and then the next three. He placed them at the head of the line into the shape of an arrowhead. Chan was to be the point. "We shall gain entry by this formation," he said. "We are the arrow, and the light shall be the bow. I want all of you to use your willpower to create light around yourselves." Each of us did as Chan asked, with a most unusual effect. The power generated by the group was tremendous. It nearly lifted us off the ground. "Right," said Chan. "If you are ready, we will begin." As we approached the wall, I sensed a heaviness, but the arrow pierced through. It was heavy going, similar to swimming against the tide. We penetrated the wall, and left a hole that could easily be walked through. The sight inside was enough to turn the stomachs of the hardest of men. There were hundreds of souls walking aimlessly around. Zombies is the only way to describe these souls who were dead to the earth world but could not escape from this madhouse. Even after death they were held here by the evil elements. New souls joined them every minute. It was a camp of death. Chan barked out his orders, which brought me back to the job at hand. Be on guard, he said. There are enemies about. Once they realize we have broken through, there will certainly be a war. Chan spoke none too soon. From out of nowhere several lower astrals attacked us. They were the guards, not the main force, and were no match for us. We quickly drove them back. Right, said Chan, start directing these souls through the hole in the wall. What started as a trickle soon became a flood. Many of them shouted out, look! The light, the light! We are saved. Not yet, I thought. How on earth were we going to help all these people? There were hundreds of them rushing towards us. They still held the fear that they had been made to suffer. It intensified by the minute and almost devoured me in the onslaught. I asked for God's help. No time for those thoughts, said Chan, get on with the work. I don't know how many passed through the wall, but many hundreds still gathered around us. I turned to Chan and said, we need help. I have it under control, he replied. Many of our friends are outside directing operations. I felt better knowing we had more friends about. The battle was not yet over with the lower astrals. They regrouped, but this time they had more evil beings with them. They were the same kind we had fought in the drinking den many years earlier. I quickly turned to Chan and said, I don't think we will be able to beat them back this time. You are right, he said. There are too many for us to tackle. We need help. Chan stopped, closed his eyes and concentrated. A minute or two passed before he opened his eyes. Help is on the way, he said. Let's hope it arrives soon, I replied. There must have been a note of desperation in my voice because suddenly Chan's willpower joined mine and recharged me. The lower astrals came towards us at a steady pace. They stopped to size up the situation. As soon as they realized there were only a few of us, they rushed at us. They were pushed forward by evil creatures who never enter the fight. They were there to suck up the negative emotions of the battle. Their auras were black with flashes of crimson running through. As they sucked up the emotions, their auras changed to pure black. Within minutes the lower astrals were on top of us. They attacked us with such a ferocity that we were pushed back towards the wall. On seeing this battle, the souls we had come to help fled in all directions. It was a double shock for the poor souls to see these evil creatures come from nowhere. One of our group fell. Within moments the lower astrals were on top of him. I fought my way over to him and jumped into the brawl. They were getting the better of us when suddenly they started to pull back. What's making them give up? I asked the chap I was helping. Look over there, he sighed and pointed towards the wall. Whole portions of the wall disintegrated, revealing our army and friends. On seeing what was happening, they entered the fight. The battle raged for a long time. The evil astrals had a newfound ferocity. Neither side gave or gained ground. Suddenly the darkness was pierced by a wave of white fire. It was followed by another, and another, shedding a great light over the whole camp. It was so bright it hurt my eyes, and I quickly closed them. From the sound of their screams, the light must have had a tremendous effect on the lower astrals. I gently opened my eyes in time to see what was happening. In every direction I looked, the lower astrals were trying to hide from the light. The most evil of the creatures deserted the lower astrals to let them fend for themselves. There was nowhere for them to run. They could only hide amongst the newly slain, but they were easy to distinguish and could be sorted out later. I wanted to find Chan, so I scanned the battlefield. He was talking to a group of friends. I made my way to him. In the midst of the fighting he had lost his hat, and his clothes were torn. When he had finished talking I asked about the great lights we had just seen. They, my young friend, he said, were the lords of light I have spoken of. Now you have seen their work for yourself, they came to battle with the powers of evil and have won. Right, I have a little job for you while I direct operations here.
I want you to take a search party and go into the camp. You are to seek out the souls who may be hiding from us out of fear." A group of six friends approached us.
"Good, you are here," said Chan. He introduced us and told us to leave no stone unturned in our search. We made our way around the encampment and directed those who were lost and dazed to safety. As we went deeper into the encampment, we felt the fear increase. We knew by this that there were more souls in hiding. We came across several huts and entered one of them. It was a type of dormitory, with bunk beds along both sides. There must have been over 100 beds. The fear that emanated from this room was overpowering, but we had learned to cope with this. We started our search, splitting up to cover more of the area. One of us soon indicated he had found some of the souls we were looking for. We managed to pacify them and led them to safety. Our search went on for many hours. Finally, I came to a dormitory that would change the course of events for me. In my search, I came across the soul of a young boy. He was about 10 or 11 years old. He looked a pitiful sight, huddled in one of the darkest corners so that no one could see his naked body. His eyes had sunk deep into their sockets. There was very little flesh on his frail skeleton. His body was held together by the arteries and veins that had once given life to a healthy child. Something snapped inside me, and I fell on my knees. I was overcome by the immense emotion of the battle, and I deeply regretted belonging to the human race. It was this pitiful child that brought reality home to me. My head hung down in shame. Bitterness and hatred welled up inside me. I had not felt this way for many years. I wanted to get hold of just one of the human beings who had inflicted this on one so young. I did not feel one bit spiritual. By God, it showed as I hammered the floor with my fists. I suddenly felt a cold hand on my shoulder. I looked up into the eyes of the child, who had come over to where I knelt. I looked deep into the pitiful eyes. They looked like two large pools of water. I was so overcome by this child that I grabbed hold of him and pulled him to my chest. Love poured from me into him, and he responded in the only way he knew. He placed his arms around my neck and held on to me for all he was worth. "Don't worry," I said. "You're safe now. No one will ever hurt you again." I picked him up and made my way to Chan. Thank God I didn't meet any lower astrals on the way, not for my sake, but theirs. Chan took one look at us and said, "I understand, Jim. It's time you left here. There is another job to be done, but I will accompany you. There are other children here who must be taken to the children's sphere. Wait here for me to round them up." Chan was gone for some time. The child was asleep in my arms. Nothing was going to prise him away from me, not for now anyway. I looked in the direction Chan had gone and caught sight of him leading a bunch of children towards me. They too were as naked as the day they were born. Chan had hold of the hands of two of the children. When they came close enough, I saw the horror that had been inflicted on these defenseless children. I realized months later that this period of my life was a testing time. Even though I was in a state of shock, I learned much. In fact, rescuing the children evoked my desire to relay all of this to you. Chan approached me, saying, "Come, Jim. We will go now." There were 22 children in all. Many more followed. The children stood motionless as Chan waved his hand. A light emanated from his palm and encircled us. When the light had gone, we stood inside a magnificent building. "Where are we?" I asked. "In the children's sphere," he answered. I heard the sound of running feet on the marble floor. A large group of nurses and nuns hurried towards us. As they approached, they didn't speak, but took hold of the children and pulled them to their bosoms. I noticed one or two of the nurses had tears rolling down their cheeks as they fussed over the children. One young nurse came up to me and asked for the child I had in my arms. I was hesitant to hand him over, and he was equally hesitant to let go. I held on to him as long as I could, but my heart told me he was safe here. I battled with myself, but I did not have to make the decision. It was made for me.
Chan tapped me on the shoulder. Let her take him. He will be in good hands, and you will be able to visit him whenever you like. I handed him over to the nurse, whose aura oozed with love for my young friend.